You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by SID Media. So, instituted by God, marriage is a sacred ordinance and should never be entered upon in a spirit of selfishness. Those who contemplate the step should solemnly and prayerfully consider its importance and seek divine counsel that they may know whether they are pursuing a cause in harmony with the will of God. And yes, we're speaking about all things marriage and second counsel. Pastor Phiri, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you too, my sister?
I am good. Mfundi Swami, I hope that you are well and ready for the Sabbath.
Yes. So very ready.
Indeed, Pastor Wami. Before we start, Pastor, since we're speaking about seeking counsel, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that God may guide us throughout this conversation?
Okay, shall we pray? Almighty Father, we thank you so much this morning for the privilege of life and for the privilege of this meeting that we are having, this session where we share thoughts that will help us glorify you as we prepare and wait for your soon return. May you guide us and speak to us, speak through us to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Pastor, you know, many people are getting married. Many people are getting married, and it's a good thing. Marriage is beautiful, I will not lie. But there are things that, you know, we need to consider carefully before we say yes to that gentleman, or that gentleman says, will you marry me, you know, to that particular lady. Why is that? And why is it that we must consider some of these things very carefully before we say, I do?
I would start by saying it is biblical. It is wise to do so. Mm-hmm. By saying it is biblical, it is the Lord Jesus himself who said, who among you would consider building or putting up a big infrastructure before counting the cost? So mm-hmm. The idea of counting cost is what we are considering in this aspect of getting married. You don't want to just jump into this thing. You don't understand. You don't fully know how it works. Mm. Otherwise, those are seeds of bitterness, seeds of frustrations, and lots of disappointment. So it is important because it helps you have a handle over your life and what you want to see happen in the after. Mm-hmm. So it's important to think before you do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when it's, how important is prayer, Mfundi Swami? Here's the thing. So since we are all different when it comes to our understanding of our relationships with God, right? And how he talks to us and everything. And then I'm like, let's say I'm going to get married. I'm told, no, Zanella, pray to God. You know, he will guide you. But I pray to God. He doesn't say anything, or I don't hear anything, or I don't see anything that is telling me that God indeed, you know, is answering me about this particular man. Yeah. You know, so how important is prayer, and how do we go about hearing what God has said?
Yeah, I would say prayer is very important because mm-hmm. prayer simply lets us be aware that we are not of our own. We are created. We don't just come into existence from some nothingness, but there's somebody who brought us into being, and that being who is God in our case, is very important in whatever we take. So when you pray, you are acknowledging his presence. You are also seeking his wisdom. You are seeking his guidance and protection over everything. Mm. You are simply acknowledging that I am limited in my understanding of stuff. So I want to make myself available to somebody who is infinite, who can give me the best advice that I do. So that's what prayer does. Mm. What prayer doesn't do at the same time, it doesn't do the things that you can do on your own. God will be available for you. He will say yes if he feels that is what needs to be happening in your life. But he will leave the things that you can do on your own, practical things that you can do to do. So he can only work the impossibles for you, those things that we consider as miracles, and you can do while you do what is possible. So what do I mean by this? When I pray to say, Lord, I want to get married, mm. I'm simply trying to let him know what I wish, I desire, so that he can provide me the guidance that I need on the things that I may not be able to know and understand. I may not know who should the right partner be in this case. But God is not going to go and make the proposal for me to whoever the potential could be. You know, that's what I'm trying to talk about. So prayer is very important. It simply says, I'm available, Lord, guide me. It's a humility displayed in this act, believing that I know that I cannot do certain things. I need a higher hand, which is God himself.
So, you know, Pastor, most of the time we are these people that want to meet me, they give us butterflies. Mm. That's what the young ones say. You know, when you're looking at the at him, you're like, oh, I can't wait. Or when you're looking at her, you're like, I just want to make this woman my wife. And sometimes, you know, those feelings, you know, they cloud our judgment. You know, sometimes we don't even see, as we call them, red flags, or we don't even see things that we should, in fact, address before marriage. Because, ooh, when I just see that man, you know. So, what are some of the dangers of us not, you know, of us not thinking clearly, of us being so much infatuated that we just can't wait, you know? So, what are some of those dangers when it comes to marriage?
No, the first thing I should say, I should acknowledge, let us accept that it's normal to feel that way, to feel infatuated, because there's this erotic feeling you're feeling. You're looking at the outward appearance of this thing, and you feel like, there was this person that I want.
Mm.
But I would say it's not safe to just go by the impulse of the erotic feeling that you're feeling, because a human being is a complex thing.
Okay.
It's like a tree that you're seeing.
Mm.
When you look at the tree, you'll be fooled to feel like I've known the tree, this is what it is. But below the ground, you see there are roots.
Mm.
And the roots make what a tree is going to be. They can corrupt it, they can kill it, and all those things. And so when you look at a human being, a potential mate, don't be fooled by the appearances. You must recognize the roots, the things that you may understand. So you don't want to just quickly jump into it and commit before you understand who they are at the depth level and what they are, how compatible they be with your life. So I'd say it's not safe to simply jump in because of you are infatuated with the appearances. That's where the idea of praying comes in. Very important. You remember the story of Samuel is being anointed as God. I'll quickly take you to that text where Samuel wants to anoint a king in the family of Jesse, pardon me. And so he goes, he looks at this other person, said, this is one the Lord wants. But the voice comes to him saying, I'm sorry. This is not the one. Don't look at the appearances, you know, because I'm looking in the inward thing. So I've used the same principle to say for young people, those of us who are still looking for mates, it's not just a question of the outward thing. There's more to a human being than the physical appearance. So you need time. Don't just jump into it. So you pray. You also study the person, consult. It helps you to understand them more because you want to have something that will help you.
Pastor, you know, so when I got married, when we got married, it's no longer I. You know, so when we got married, you know, we did have at church, we did have a couple, I think it's multiple couples that spoke to us, you know. So the other couple would speak to us about finance, the other one would speak to us about, you know, the home, how we should keep the home clean, all of those things, you know, and also some of the challenges that we might face and so forth and so on. And I think for me, one of the all of them, they were good, but one of them, one of the lessons that even now I still remember vividly was when one of the ladies, she spoke to us about values, you know, and then she drew a triangle of some sort there. And then she's like, okay, what are your values? You know, and then my husband spoke, and then it's like, you spoke. And then we found our common values. And then she's like, no, these ones that are not common, you know, you need to work. Oh, that one, I still remember it now because it was so beautifully done. And even after that, when we sit back and look, we're like, yes, it was actually quite helpful, you know, but other people might not want to do that, might not want to go to speak to the older folks or those who have been married for long. Is that important for us to go and speak to these people?
Absolutely, yes. As we have already said, you are getting into an arena where you're not very familiar with. You are very wise if you can take help from those that have already gone through it, they have experienced something. Of course, you also have to be careful because there are those who can distort the whole picture and mislead you in the process. But you use your judgment, listen to their stories, and make your own judgment based on what I'm getting. This seems to be the best thing that I can do. But it's very important that anyone contemplating marriage, they take as much time as they can to get counsel from those that have been into it. And because they have issues, they can help them avoid, you know. once I share you what my mistakes were, it helps you to become wise at those points and you'll not repeat the same experience that I did. So it's very important, and it was good that in your case, you had somebody who shared. I don't know how you felt or how it helped you, but I would like to believe that at least you were going into your marriage knowing how finances work or how that does. At least you do have certain things you'd expect. And within that parameter, you'd be able to have control, a handle over your life in terms of those areas. So it's very critical. I would actually encourage that those contemplating marriage take much time, read extensively. Sometimes you're not just going to somebody who is physical being talking to you, but even reading books. People have authored books which are full of good counsel on these issues. So it's very critical because it helps you. That's what it means to prepare for marriage. It's not just a question of, I got my car, I got my shoes, I got my snow, I don't know. But are you able to have this picture of what it means to get married?
Mm.
So, yes.
Mm. It's Pastor, very important. You know, some of us, I wanted to say most, but, you know, some of us, we come from dysfunctional families. You know, shame. We don't even, you can't even say, I look up to my parents because their marriage was good as you intend to get married, because there was no such thing, you know. So now the issue of parental guidance. And then here I am, my mother would want to tell me that, my child, be wary of 1, 2, 3, 4. But I'm like, ha, ma, how do you know? Because you know some of those things, because it does happen. And when the father now speaks like this, I'm like, ha, but dad, you know, there's nothing that I would, in terms of marriage, that I would have learned from my parents. It's either one, they're divorced, it's either two, the marriage is just upside down. And I'm like, okay, what is it? Now we ended up now like looking at the neighbors, you know, abomakhelwane, like, okay, maybe them. But how important is parental judgment when it comes to them, speaking and looking at and observing our partners, and also us accepting that counsel? Because as I was saying, it's difficult because we're like, but look at your own, you know.
Yeah. That's why I said, as we respond to the earlier question, that it's important to take as much counsel as you can from those that are experienced. I would go ahead of myself and say, regardless of how dysfunctional my family or where I'm coming from, the family was like, my parents, they don't seem to have had it as I should have expected it. It is still wise to listen to them, unless if they are advising you on something that is obviously something that is wrong and bad, then you say, no, I wouldn't want to take this for the sake of being with my parents. But if you listen to them, you know, the dysfunctionality itself has helped them to become wise. That's why they experience. So they might be telling you something that you feel like, but it looks like you're playing double standard. You're telling me not to do this, whilst you're doing this. I'll give you an example. I'm not ashamed to tell you this. My own dad used to be a drunkard at some point. Before this time God be glorified, he left that. But you know one thing he was always telling us, my son, never ever do this. But so he's doing it, he's telling me not to do it. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
Should I undermine that? Should I undermine that?
Hey.
He used to be a polygamous partner. He says, don't do what I'm doing. You know, it has these nasty things, it has this. So you look at what people are saying. It's because they have experienced it. Yes, they were foolish enough, if you want to call them foolish, to have gone or indulged into it. And that foolishness has taught them something. So you can still get the value from whatever they're telling you, unless it is contrary to what common sense would tell you it's right. For instance, if my father was to encourage me, so go and be drinking, when I know that this is not good, then I'd say, no, there's a problem here. So that's why, with the help of the counsel that I get from elsewhere, I'm still evaluate the parental guidance I'm receiving. So in short, don't undermine your parents' guidance when it comes to this issue, because they speak things from experience and they could help you. Of course, all factors equal, you've checked that it's not something that is misleading you.
As whilst we are there, Pastor, before we go, how important is the counsel of friends? This one is not make sure. Because, you know, the people that they know us best at that particular time, right? Because word, let's say here's this brother James, you know, has been courting me for like 6 months or so, and then he's like, I'm very much sure, you know, and now I'm like, no, I'm very much sure. But our friends, they know us the most because we've been friends for like 10 years, 5 years or so. They've seen us through. So how important is that counsel?
That's a tough one, anyway. But I'll tell you this. I'll quickly tell you this. You know, as you have already repeatedly said, it's important to take as much counsel as you can.
Yes.
The other thing that we'd like to throw in there, it's not every counsel that comes your way that should be taken just as it is. Mm. You have to, you know, balance up, use your own judgment. There are those friends who may give you good counsel, but be also aware that there are those that may give you wrong counsel.
Mm.
They have their own biases, their own idiosyncrasies. They're just telling you their own negativity and do something else. So you that's why the wisdom of taking counsel from a number of counselors would help you excel through this kind of experience. So take counsel from your friends. It's very important because they really know you, or they know the partner better than you do. But it balances up with these other issues that I'm talking about. I would also add to say sometimes people rush into getting this. I will just marry this one because I love them. But they haven't taken time to study their family. I would also encourage youngsters to say, study the family that you're marrying from.
Hey.
An index into every human being is in the small things they do.
Mm.
And the home where people come from is the greatest index that will let you see a bigger picture of some things that you may potentially expect as you come to stay with this person. So take time to study the family, how they treat each other. Look at the mom and the dad in the family. How do they speak to each other? How do they treat each other? You are likely to express the same thing through their son or daughter that you're marrying, if you're not careful, because we are shaped by the home we are coming from. Of course, there's an exception to every rule. I just confess to say I'm coming from a family background where my father is a drunkard. It would be very wrong for somebody to just conclude, say, since he's coming from a drunkard
family, he's also a drunkard.
He's going to be a drunkard himself. Mm. No. So let us allow that there's an exception to the rule. But on a whole picture, the things that you observe in the family you're marrying are likely to be exhibited or repeated by the pattern that you're getting married in. So study the family. That's what I'm talking about. Listen to the friends who know more, but also balance up so that we're able to be safe.
Mm.
In a nutshell, I'm simply trying to say, there's nothing wrong to get advice from friends, but be very careful who is talking to you.
As we wrap up, Pastor, I loved how you brought in the issue of family. I wanted to run away from it, but since you brought it here, Pastor, then there is this video that has been doing the rounds. You know, we are on social media these days and stuff. So I don't know if it's true or it was it happened and then now they reincarnated it so that people can can get it. So this Makoti, you know, in our cultures, after you've gotten married, now you come there, they welcome you, the family, right? So there is this Makoti there, she is sitting there and then she hears them speak and then now stands in the aunt, the mom to her mother-in-law. Mfundisi. She's like, welcome, let me tell you, in this family, we are witches. We do witchcraft. And then she goes on, she's like, no, this one has a snake, this one has baboons, this one has 1, 2, 3, 4, when are you be given this one? She's like it's such a hilarious skit that they did, but also emotional, because most of the times we will see the family, you know, they will wear masks where possible, or they will be okay. But some of the, we don't really concentrate on the family because John is making me feel otherwise. You know, I want to marry him. But then now when you get there, you find that you're pagati inside, you're inside there. So in a situation like that, Pastor, as we wrap up, you know, what would you do if you have tried to study the family, or you were not able to study the family, and then you go in there, you find that, for example, you're a Christian, but he did mention that, no, they are Christians, but not that serious. But then when you get there, you find that they are full in into ancestral worship, you know. So now what do you do in that situation?
Yeah. Now, you see, it means you are too late at that point.
Mm.
It means you did not do your assignment well, you hurried at some point, because if you did not hurry, you should have been able to know all those issues. That's this is what kind of family I'm marrying into.
Mm.
But now the question is, you have already found yourself in there, what do? You know, marriage is a sacred thing. You can't get into marriage as a trial thing to say, okay, if it works, I will stay. If it doesn't, I'll come out. So the moment, that's why we are saying don't rush into the marriage thing. Otherwise, you might be in serious trouble. So since you're already into this, I would suggest that you take time to discuss that with your spouse and set your values clear. You talked about values here.
Yeah.
What do you value? You are not forced to adopt somebody's beliefs when they are affecting your life, your marriage negatively. So the two of you discuss and decide, much as this is our family thing, the Bible talks about living. It's just that maybe time is running out, but I will take you to Genesis, the very manual of marriage. There's a clause in chapter 2, verse 24, where they say, for this reason, a man shall leave his parents or his father or his mother and whatever, and they shall be one. You remember that statement?
Mm.
Now, I know there's physical living where people live and they create their own home. That's okay. But I would like to talk about the psychological living, the cultural living. At the psychological level, you need to cut the apron with your home where you're coming from so that you are able to develop your own. And this includes some of the traditions that you may have grown up in, which are negative, are not good, that detrimental to your life. You should be willing to part ways with those issues. So if I'm coming from a family where they believe these issues, but I know they're against the Bible values, why should I cling to them? I should be able to say, I'm leaving, I'm creating my own family. So you develop your own values. So, but that is a process you negotiate, you discuss with your friend, your partner. That's what I would say in a quick short like that.
Yeah, indeed. Pastor, thank you. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for those who want to get married, as we have passed that stage? Now we are right. Those who want to get married, you know, for them to seek the right counsel and also rely on God to guide them on this beautiful journey that they're about to embark on.
Yes, before I pray, I would say they should think more. You remember the other day we talked about the book I offered. There are a few things in that book, much as it's not talking about marriage, but they can benefit. The few small things that you see in your spouse may be telltales of what the future is going to be. So don't undermine the story of the family, and don't undermine the counsel of your parents and relatives and friends who may know more than you do. And you don't just jump before you ask God to guide you into your decision. So shall we pray that God will help us arrive at the right decision? Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you. You are an amazing God who created this wonderful institution of marriage. And we appreciate that we enjoy life because you did what no human being could understand, could even create, could invent. And we thank you, but we understand we are living in a world where things are not gone as you expected them to be. And sometimes we are misguided, we are misled by the evil one. And that's why we pray, Lord, that you always guide our lives and help us, especially for those of us who are anticipating to get married. May you guide us, lead us to the right partners, just as you guided Samuel into the choice of David. May your Holy Spirit whisper behind us and let us know that this is not the one that I want, even when we are infatuated by the appearances and things, so that our marriage is not based on feeling, but it is based on principle, because you want us to love genuinely and stay in this marriage forever till you come. So thank you for this moment that we can anticipate, we can meditate and discuss issues pertaining to our lives. To your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Piri, thank you so much for that beautiful one. If people are listening now, Pastor, and they call us, say they want to get married because of your counsel, we will invite you.
Yes. Please, I'm available 24/7.
I know. Thank you, Pastor. Have yourself a blessed Sabbath.
Blessed Sabbath too. Thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.